and welcome to this episode of Ways to Change the Workplace with myself, Preena Shah. I love what I do. I'm a global leadership coach, a consultant, a trainer, a keynote speaker, a podcaster. I help you to develop your leaders, your teams, and I help you to optimize your organizational cultures. I'm here to help you find ways to change your workplace. Why? Because we spend more time in our waking day at work than we do with our loved ones. It has to be a good place to be. So in this podcast, you can expect a mix of interviews with amazing thought leaders and then some solo episodes from myself as well. Get ready! Welcome to another episode of the Legacy Series, and I'm really excited to be bringing to you today Anthony Rouletto, who is the CEO of the town of Victoria Park, which is a really cool town in just the outskirts of Perth. Now, I've been working with Anthony and his team and the town of Vic Park for years, since I started my business, in fact, and I've seen the evolution of the organization. And I am very lucky to have wonderful connections with wonderful people such as Anthony and his wider team and lots of people in the organization. So the kind of work I've been doing for the team at the town of Vic Park are things such as team optimization sessions for teams who need a fresh jump start, leadership development sessions, leadership coaching sessions. I've coached the executive team, Anthony and his team themselves, to get past certain hurdles. We all have hurdles. It's realistic that we get help to overcome such hurdles. I have had the opportunity to deliver many a team health session for various teams across the town of Victoria Park. I've been very privileged to be able to coach an elected member of the town of Victoria Park as well. And one of the things that I recently finished is a huge mentoring program for the inner city councils, which I facilitated. And the town of Victoria Park was one of the towns, the city of Subiaco, the town of Vincent, and the city of South Perth were also involved. And the intention of that last program that I mentioned was to break silos across various councils. How cool is that? If you think that's great, you're going to love everything that Anthony has to share with you. He has a really interesting perspective, so let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to this legacy series of the Ways to Change Your Workplace podcast with myself, Preena Shah, and I'm very excited to be reintroducing you today to Anthony Rouletto. Anthony's already been in the podcast once before, and I'll link to that in the show notes. But Anthony, welcome back. How are you today?
Yeah, great. Happy to be back, Preena. So I appreciate the invite again. You can't get enough of a good thing, hey, Preena?
Exactly. And I love chatting with you, Anthony. So as you know, as I briefed you anyway, this series of the Ways to Change Your Workplace podcast is on people who leave a legacy within the workplace. And, you know, you don't have to be at the helm of your career. You could be at any stage in your career, as you know, and as I've learned loads from you from the work that I've been doing with you. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Anthony to you. Anthony Rouletto is the CEO of the town of Victoria Park, which is a huge, vibrant town in just on the outskirts of Perth City, really close, really diverse, really vibrant. It's got its own feel. It's got its own flavour, so to speak, has its own vibe. It's a really beautiful town. And in terms of Anthony himself, Anthony, if I may, I know lots about you. We've been working together for a while now, for a good few years. And one of the things I've heard about Anthony, I'm going to let this slip, you know, there's always rumors about, oh my gosh, is Anthony going to leave the town? Where is he going to go to? So there's always rumors like this. And from that perspective, I've heard from your own people thinking, shit, I don't want him to leave. But then from other perspectives of people from other organizations, they're thinking, I hope we get him. So there's something about Anthony here. And I remember, Anthony, when I first met you, I was in your office and you took great pride in your organizational culture. And I know you and your team have done some amazing work. And you've won lots and lots of awards in relation to optimizing your organizational culture. And that's one of the things you're passionate about. But I know you're passionate about lots of things. At a high level, Anthony, over to you. What do you do and why do you do it?
Look, I never actually expected to be in a CEO role. And I suppose having a civil engineering background and designing roads and drains is a long way from managing an organisation of lots of wonderful people. So for me, I sort of fell into it. I've been at the town of Vic Park for 22 years in the last week. So it's a very long time, three different roles, but ultimately 9 years now in the CEO role. And why do I do what I do? Well, I actually like people and I like working with them. I like to be able to, I suppose, test how good they can be. I like to try to see how far I can help them grow and reach their potential. And I suppose one last thing sort of view I have is that I want to make sure I make a difference for the community at large as opposed to just the town of Victoria Park. So I think they're the things that actually drive me and have done since I first got into the CEO role.
Okay, Anthony, amazing. So with that in mind, you want to make a difference to the community at large. Now, I know for a fact that you have many bosses, many, many bosses, let's just say. So we've got the mayor that you report to. There's all of the councillors as well, you know, that you are reporting to. You've got your executive team. You have the people of the town of Victoria Park, you know, your community. You've got your stakeholders. And very importantly, you've got your people, all of your staff, you know, that I know you serve as well. How do you manage?
And you missed one group. That was my wife and family. So, and my wife's name is Karen too, as is my mayor. So I've got two Karens that are my boss at the moment.
Wow.
Look, how do I manage? I suppose it's a bit of an art. I think being a CEO is more of an art than an actual discipline. So it's about being able to juggle priorities. It's about being able to delegate when you need to and support people when they need it. And I think for me, you know, the only way I can do this is by building capability with others in the organisation and just helping to guide them and help them deliver outcomes. And I think that's probably the key to it. Rather than trying to do everything yourself, which you'll pretty much burn yourself out pretty quickly, you've got to rely on others. And in doing so, you have to trust that they'll actually do the best for this organisation and community. And I believe they do.
Now, talking about that, you have just been on an epic six-week holiday all around Australia and you're looking very refreshed. Hold on to that holiday high. But while you were away, Anthony, you did something very different with two people in your job. Could you please explain what you did and why you did that?
Well, I was away for 6 weeks and we had three different acting roles through that period. The first, though, was a co-CEO sharing role. So I had one of the executive and a manager that reports directly to me act in that role. And why we do this is it's a traditional sort of issue within local governments that career development is a major problem. So elevating in a hierarchical sort of sense through an organisation, you'll hit the limiter at some point in time. And then your choices are, do I want to stay here? Do I want to move? How am I going to get this extra bit of experience that I need? So that particular manager basically through our performance review process indicated they want to act in some form of executive role. And so when I went on leave, we were able to organise them acting partially in my CEO role to give them a bit of a taste of what to expect. I'm not too sure whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. However, they definitely learnt a lot. And I think, you know, it gives them a view into what the role is all about. It isn't just having coffee and building relationships with people. There's a fair bit of other negotiation with all those different bosses that I've got and with the community as well. So I think they got a bit out of it.
Oh, no doubt. And what a beautiful way to do it. So a co-CEO sharing acting opportunity where you had one of the executives and a senior leader who wants to rise up the ranks as well. So there was the security blanket of a senior executive, so to speak, who was helping that senior leader as well. it can be done, and you've just shown that it can.
It can be, and I think you learn from these processes as well. So it's pretty much you have to dip your toe in the water to actually understand what the actual outcomes are going to be of an acting shared acting role. So did it work 100% perfectly? No, it didn't. What did we learn from it? There's quite a few things. I think we would embed that in the process next time if someone was going to be acting as the co-CEO, and hopefully you refine how we do it moving forward. But the one thing is we created an opportunity that wasn't there before, and that person got some experience which they wouldn't have got before. So it's a good thing.
Beautiful. It's all about opening doors, learning from things. Things go right, things go wrong. And when things go wrong, we learn from them, we pivot, and we continue on. Anthony, in your own words then, so I have many words about you, but in your own words, how would you define the legacy that you are leaving in the corporate world at this stage?
Look, I suppose my legacy is not only the things that we build and deliver in terms of services to the community, it's really about building an organisation that has a good culture. They trust you and I trust them. They are open to a conversation, as am I, and they are all helping deliver outcomes for this community in alignment. And I think we've got a pretty good organisation. We've only just done our staff satisfaction survey just recently, and we hit 90% satisfaction. And you know, through lots of turnover in the last couple of years and all the changes around the world with COVID and things like that, we're in a pretty good place. And I feel like there's an energy within the organisation now to keep progressing. And that whole legacy about leaving a good, sound organisation to whoever might come into this role in the future is really what it's all about for me. There's nothing. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There's always work to do. However, it's a pretty sound and good organisation to be in. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So, you mentioned there about listening to your people, and I have seen it in action. How do you listen to your people? Do you have examples of what you do and how you do it, Anthony? If you could kindly share.
Yeah. Sure. So lots of different ways. I do a CEO open door conversation once a week, and I may get no one to come in and have a chat to me, or I might get half a dozen people. Generally, they'll come in and just engage about whatever the issues are, whether it's an approval for something or whether they want to talk about family-related issues, they'll come in and have a chat. The other thing I do is once a month I get random people across the organisation to have coffee with Ross. And I go and have coffee and cake with them somewhere in the town, and we just shoot the breeze and have a conversation. If they want to raise something with me, they do. If they don't, so be it. But for me, it's having that engagement at that level allows me to understand whether there's any issues, problems or concerns. It gives me a good pulse of what's actually happening in the business. And probably the one major one that we've introduced actually during COVID, you used to have once a month staff meetings, but there'll be two or three people talking at the staff meetings and pretty much silence throughout the whole meeting. But through COVID, we started engaging weekly in Teams meetings, and we basically started to engage across digital sphere, and we had much more participation in conversation in those staff meetings. We used to poll staff also about how they're feeling, why they're feeling that way through COVID. And then beyond that, we poll them on various things. What's concerning you at the moment? What's creating a problem for the way you're doing your work? What are the blockages that we can actually help you with, or we might be able to give you advice about getting through that particular blockage? And that information and data that we get from those meetings then goes back to our executive or our management teams to actually do something with. So we not only ask them what the issues are, we help solve them and actually come back to them and say, well, this is what we've done, or this is how you can play a part in resolving that issue. And that's led to our engagement scores being in the 80th percentile mark with our organisation now. So quite high engagement for the organisation, considering that half of our staff, which is about 400-odd staff, are actually casual. So they might only do 2 hours a day or 5 hours a week or whatever it is, you know. So it's actually in a pretty good space. And they're the things we use, like the main tools.
Yeah, and in that conversation, especially that staff meeting that you've turned into, you know, an online forum now as well, making it more accessible for even more people, I know for a fact that a lot of the work that comes out of that often goes back to the then OD team. I know your roles are evolving within your workplace as well, but I know that you get word clouds and you really actually do pay attention to the data. And in relation to your organizational culture, you're not just focusing on it come culture survey time. It's always there, front of mind. And not only for yourself, but the rhetoric of your people, everybody at the town as well, is much, much the same.
Yeah, I think when I first started the role, the one thing I really wanted to get a handle on was, it's a bit uberizing like the government, but it's having a finger on the pulse of the community, the council and the staff at any point in time. So that sort of driven me to, well, how do I actually get that within an organisation? Well, doing a staff survey every 2 years isn't going to cut it. Doing a community satisfaction survey every 2 years isn't going to cut it. It's really understanding through things like social media, feedback forums, engagement forums, through staff meetings, through engagement with council, doing blogs for them and talking to them and educating them and building capability there, that you get the richness of what's actually happening at that particular point in time. Once you know that, it's actually then do something with it. Now what do you actually do with that and try to help resolve in partnership with them, that particular cohort, to try to get a better outcome.
Beautiful. And it works and you're doing it and you're repeatedly doing it. So that's consistency there. Now, I know from your career perspective, 22 years, congratulations. I am sure it has not been hunky-dory throughout. So without breaking confidence or, you know, sharing any crazy stories. There may be some crazy stories, but what kind of career challenges have you come across and how have you overcome them?
Look, I think there's lots of different career challenges and you get them every week. Nothing always goes right. So I had a leader at some point in time, they shall remain nameless. That, you know, we didn't quite see eye to eye on a number of different, spheres. And I think what I've learned over my time is everyone has a different perspective on things, but their intent sometimes is exactly the same. Their intentions are to do the best for the community. For instance, we have in local government, you generally have a single goal, which is pretty much around that. Whether you're a councillor, whether you're an administrator, you're pretty much just trying to deliver better outcomes for them. But sometimes that gets a bit blurry when you're in the conversation trying to get something done and you want to do it your way and not the other way. And I think the key thing that I've learned is that to get acceptance around solutions, you've got to have engagement and participation in option generation around what that possible solution could actually be. So rather than thinking it's my idea is the best or their idea is the worst or best, it's trying to work out, not compromise, but actually work out together what is actually going to be the solution we both can get behind to actually deliver a better outcome. I think the challenge for me over time is basically trying to work through some of that, particularly when you're so involved in the conversation. Sometimes you need, and I've used it, facilitation to actually get some clarity around what's actually stopping you from getting the outcomes you actually want. And if you have going with an open mind and you know, no one's doing any evil, it's all about trying to get a better outcome, once you understand what's stopping or blocking that particular outcome, it's much easier to deal with how to actually move forward. Now, for me, sometimes it's trust. Am I wanting to trust that person or that group of individuals to do the right thing? And particularly if maybe something's happened in the past that sort of made me think, yeah, I'm not too sure if that's the right way to go. And I think you maybe may have stepped over the line. I think it takes a bit of time to actually push through some of those barriers that you come up against. So for me, it's really trying to work through that, but being open to others to help you get through it as well and not have to walk. It's not all about you all the time. It's actually having some clarity from others that will help you. And we've used that actually through the organisation, through different teams. You've been part of that as well, Karina. Yeah. The teams come up a bit against obstacles. Sometimes the inertia kicks in and they can't quite push through. And sometimes it's the same as me. You know, I need sometimes a bit of guidance and support to actually get it to the next point. And hopefully you learn from it. And then that blind spot's reduced moving forward.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's about collaboration and learning. I know for a fact that you're a lifelong learner and you value that for yourself and you impart that to your organization as well. And you've got a big focus on learning. In your opinion, what are key qualities that distinguish exceptional leaders?
I suppose for me, it's being authentic. It's being who you are, not being trying to be someone you're not. And with that integrity, having high levels of integrity. As you probably heard through what I've been saying, being open to feedback, criticism, but also helping others to grow by giving them feedback and constructive criticism sometimes as well. But probably the biggest value, which is embedded within our organisational values for a reason, for me, is care. So if you care about yourself and you care about the community and you care about the council and you care about your staff, then you're pretty much on that that road of doing anything you can to look after them. I think for me, that's the biggest value that means a lot to me. If I care, things will happen, others will see it, and if they know that I'm authentic about that and I demonstrate that in the things that I do, they generally will align with the direction the organisation is going. If they had concerns, they're going to be open enough to actually come up and tell me that there's concerns, and then I'm open enough to change direction a bit if I think there's a valid point that they're raising. I think that's probably some of the key sort of values or qualities. I suppose in any leadership role, vision, what is your direction? Where are you going? Yeah. Building momentum and people's support for that direction is also a crucial part of the leadership role.
Anthony, in relation to that, then going back to the vision, I know. So the town, you have the town's vision. Can I ask you a personal, professional question? Do you have your own vision? Do you have your own kind of guiding values, North Star? What's your thing?
Probably the things that I mentioned around care, integrity, being open, and they're the sort of things that drive me.
Yeah.
The vision for me is doing the best I can for the community at large. I think, but for me, like I'm not into the commercial space of running a business necessarily to make profit. Yeah. I'm here more about the social dividend and impact I can make on the community. For me, the biggest sort of focus is building capability within community to let them take control of their own destiny, enabling them to do more, not to being dependent on an organisation like our own, and helping them to actually get there. So one thing I've learned over the years is we don't want to create a welfare society, and in my view, building capability takes a bit longer. However, it builds trust. You become much more transparent and open with your stakeholders, your community.
Yeah.
And they believe you that you're doing the right thing for that their particular cohort or community. So for me, that's the sort of the sort of thing that drives me in this. And I don't think I could actually ever work for an organization that wasn't really focused on community type stakeholders, not shareholders. It's more about the community dividend I can provide back to them.
Yeah. Now, when you were talking, so take your own destiny and help them to get there. So you're talking about the community in that respect, but I have seen, personally myself, that you apply that to your employees as well. And I'm going to name, you have superstars who often leave the town. So the likes of Chris Gollo, the wonderful Michael Hancock and Rebecca Waghorn, just three of them I can reel off the top of my head, have gone on to amazing career heights. There's something about the town of Vic Park that creates these talented people. What's your theory, or what are your thoughts in terms of these people who you create or who the town creates?
I think it's probably our approach. So I want to go back to trusting people. So allowing them to be masters of their own destiny, guiding them when they need it, but gently guiding them, being a little bit disruptive every now and then to sort of push a few boundaries.
With them.
Sometimes they need to have a breakdown to get a breakthrough as well. And
yes.
I feel like sometimes It's a bit like being in an organisation too long. You sometimes don't see that your potential is much greater than the organisation that you're working in.
Yeah.
And so for me, I build capability for an industry, not for this organisation. So it's going back a step. Boundaries concern me, and so I don't boundaries around anything. It's pretty much if I'm building a better person, helping to build a better person for the industry, that's my objective. And I want to make sure that they succeed. And it's the same as the community. I want them to succeed as well. And I want the organisation to succeed. If you focus on building capability and building champions within your own organisation, the organisation will just flourish. You don't have to dictate to people. You don't have to be an authoritarian type leader. You have to drag people across the line. They can do it themselves, and they drag you with them. And I think that's the key. I don't focus on me. I focus on them.
Yeah. Okay. You have to break down to have a breakthrough. And I know you've had some tough conversations with some people as well, especially in the case if I really want that job at the next level and if I don't win it, I know you've had a conversation with some people to say, hey, it's not your time here. Go out into the world. Be brilliant. And I know the other thing that you do is you always have an open door policy of repeat offenders, we like to call them. So you're always welcoming people back as well.
Yeah.
But you let them out to fly.
Yeah, look, I do. And look, I think we've had quite a few people that wanted to come back over time as well. And, you know, we go through the normal processes of recruitment. So sometimes they get back, sometimes they don't. However, I try to help any of my team. This is not just about me. The whole organisation tries to foster this help and support for anyone who's in our business, knowing that at some point in time they're going to reach a ceiling and want to move on. And it's our objective to actually make sure that we coach and guide them and support them to get those outcomes. Because ultimately the community at large is going to benefit from it. Everyone's going to get the benefit. I'm going to get the benefit of it at some point in time as well. So I think being open to having an open mind about guiding and coaching people and not just saying, no, you can't have that training because it doesn't specifically fit in this box. You know, if you do that and you start constraining outcomes and staff, their capability and capacity to grow. If you focus specifically on just the discipline they're working in, if they have potential in other areas and you know about it and they've told you about it, then encourage them and support them to actually get into that space. Because generally, you know, regardless of whether they're in our business or not, they'll come back and support us in some way, shape, or form.
Yep. Guaranteed. Absolutely so. Anthony, you also talked about boundaries, and I remember an executive coaching session I had with your team. You said something which was just aha for me, which I've been repeating to the world. But in your own words, can you talk to me about your concept of being friends versus friendly and the differentiation between the two and why it's so important?
Yeah, look, I think, I can understand people coming into workplaces as we spend most of your time, and it's good to have friends beyond where you locally live and things like that. However, for me, particularly when you're in a leadership role, being friends with people sometimes can blur the lines, I suppose. And I suppose I've taken, and it's the same with council, for instance. You know, my dealings with council is not as a friend, it's being friendly to them, and hopefully they're friendly back to me. It's the same with staff. But friends is sort of a line where it starts getting a little bit difficult sometimes when, say, a difficult decision needs to be made and that person may be impacted because of that, and things like bias are starting to come into play, and how you deal with that particular issue may be affected if you become friends. I know lots of people do become friends. I'm not that worried about all of that, but by the same token, just be mindful about your role and function in an organisation, how that may impact that friendship down the track.
Absolutely. I know you say that from the get-go as well in terms of friends and friendly. There's two different hats there. Yeah. Anthony, there's lots of people listening. You have given lots of advice already, but what advice would you give to aspiring leaders or people who want to leave a meaningful legacy in their own careers and positively change your workplace? Any gems you would give to these people?
Well, from my perspective, it's care about people and yourself. So that's one thing. And I don't, to care about yourself, sort of, I think leaders, particularly in these sort of roles, struggle with a little bit. 6 weeks annual leave was really, really good. And that was a bit of care for myself. But sometimes if you don't look after yourself, you're not going to be any good to anyone. Definitely caring about your people and actually looking after them is a really important part. And I'm not just talking from an health and safety perspective, really, not that. This is actually genuinely caring about their future, about who they are and what their needs are. Again, being authentic and being open to meaningful feedback, it'll help you build yourself. Getting feedback from staff. You know, if I have an open door conversation and staff and wants to tell me you didn't do that well in this particular instance, and these are the reasons why, I'm open to it. I might feel a bit of a tickle in the back of my head and neck and saying, oh, God, they're giving me some constructive feedback here, what am I going to do with this? I think being open to that feedback is really important. And also being humble and not seeking admiration. I think what I learned in my history is, like, if someone's got an ego, a significant ego, in a leadership sort of role, focus on making them look good, making sure your team looks good and are working well. Don't focus on yourself, because the focusing on yourself, people see it.
Yeah.
And they know that you're doing that, and you're nice to it as well. And if people are your focus and leaders are your focus, then the outcomes will come to you eventually over time. And don't worry about, getting to that next, racing to that next goal that you've got around getting an extra pay rise or a different manager position or something like that. But if you focus on what you're doing and your people around you and your leaders, you'll get the outcomes eventually. It'll just happen.
Beautiful. And that's your internal driver speaking again. Now, Anthony, final question. This podcast is called Ways to Change Your Workplace. And looking at the current state of the corporate world and the fact that we are, this podcast is called Ways to Change Your Workplace, if I gave you, Anthony Villetta, a magic wand, what is one way that you would change your workplace, be as controversial or creative as you want?
Few different ways. I'm a bit of a, I would, if I wasn't so constrained by structures of local government, which I work in, I would have a Googleized approach to everything. So it would be agile, it would be freelance chickens, leading their own teams or leading themselves to get outcomes. And I think less structure sometimes is a good thing. Some people really need structure, so a bit of it's not a bad thing. But building capability, enabling people is probably the key. For me, it's just getting the benefits out of your people by helping them get to where they want to be, rise an organisation to reach its potential. And I think being flexible and trying things, doing a bit of R&D within your own business to test the waters. You know, I've currently got a staff member working from Poland on different shifts. Now, it's unusual. It's a need. We want to keep the person. They're great. You know, you just got to be open to something different every now and then and just try it. If it doesn't work, then we can stop it there. We'll move on to something else. But if you don't try, you'll never know. So that's probably my view, my vision of what I would do in the workplace.
Beautiful.
Have a bit of fun.
Yes. Always have fun and dad jokes. And if you never try, you will never know. With that, Anthony, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you again.
Thank you. See you later,
Brenna. Sign up to my newsletter, which is detailed in the show notes, if you stand against crappy cultures, lousy leaders, and toxic teams. And I'll see you in the next episode.